literally started out as a lost bet.
When I was about 8 years old, we moved to the Gold Coast.
We woke up to a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning.
We felt it was a bit conventional for us.
Whoa, what's going on? Am I going to make this?
Once upon a time.
Every Saturday morning, we hear the most amazing stories. And they start with Once Upon a Time. For those who once upon a time were a boy. Growing up, how often did you hear the words, come on, toughen up, be a man? Sam Leighton-Dorr is a Gold Coast-based queer writer, artist and director. And from the first day of primary school, the bullying began. It would go on to put his life in danger. But he's used the dark days as inspiration for his artwork and to fight what he calls toxic masculinity. Sam, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing your story. You enjoyed a pretty carefree kind of childhood right up until you got to primary school. What happened?
Yeah, I was very lucky to have parents who nurtured me from the day I was born. I was encouraged to kind of pursue whatever made my tail wag in terms of having a dress-up box where I had like long silk gloves and wigs and dresses and, you know, lots of paints. So I was kind of lucky in the sense that I was able to pursue these things that I had a natural inclination towards from a very early age.
And it's such a lovely way to put it, whatever made my tail wag, you know, just what makes you happy, you know, just innocently happy.
I mean, I think at that age when you're super young, you don't have a real sense of what the expectations of you are.
No, so there's no filter.
So before I realised what the expectations of me were socially, I was very fortunate in being able to kind of carve that identity out for myself as a child.
Nothing like the school yard, either the playground or the classroom for that matter, to just change all of that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a rude shock for sure. I've got a photo of me smiling on my first day, but I don't think you would have found a photo of me smiling on my second.
Yeah.
Because I'd been so loved and so nurtured at home, I wasn't expecting to be othered so quickly in a bigger social environment.
Yeah, just like that in one day. You don't fit in. You're not like the boys.
I think there were identifiers early. Like I have, you know, a slight lisp. I had effeminate mannerisms. I wasn't particularly interested in sport. I didn't play with, you know, cars and trucks. And I wasn't particularly boisterous. I was more comfortable hanging out with the girls and playing with dolls and drawing and painting and being creative. So there was this immediate kind of separation between me and the boys. And I think when that separation happens, a real kind of pack mentality sets in, because I think people become aware quite quickly of the social hierarchy. And, you know, in order to be safe within that, you have to not be at the bottom. And often that means people behaving in ways that they wouldn't normally. And I think I was the victim of that for a long time.
How much of those very early days are you still working through?
I think so much of what I struggle with today starts right back there in kind of kindergarten. You know, unrelenting standards, the fear of rejection and sharing my creative work kind of goes back to being rejected as a child. And being vulnerable on social media is really scary, because you, now that I've found community, I'm so scared of being rejected by it. So there are all that goes back, I think, to the damage that was done when I was at this really impressionable age. And my nervous system was wired back then, and now I can't, you know, I go into fight or flight mode really quickly. If I sense tension, or if the dynamics in a conversation or social setting kind of replicate those of these incidents when I was young, I tend to panic, because it's what my body knows.
And yet, Sam, you put yourself out there as an artist through mm-hmm. your creative work. I'm speaking to Sam Leighton-Dorr. He's a Gold Coast-based queer writer, artist and director. and has a lot of messaging around toxic masculinity. You moved from Sydney to the Gold Coast. You went freelance at the same time. You could, you know, in some respects, although I can see you and others can't, there's no wallflower about you at all. You know, you're bright as a button right now, half covered in ink by the looks of things. And what isn't colourful on your skin is, you know, colourful clothing, et cetera. You know, you are who you are. Yeah. You don't resile from that at all. You don't pull back. And yet you still talk about all these things that could send you into a panic mode. Mm-hmm. So how do you use this creativity to do just that, to put yourself out there and try to change some of this toxic masculinity that has been part of your history?
I mean, a year ago, my wardrobe was all black. So the colourful dressing is a part of my therapy. It was something that I really decided to do. I looked back at photos of myself before I started school and realized that I had this real kind of penchant for color and for patterns. And I had lost that at some point between starting school and being 29 years old. That had disappeared. And I kind of suspected that it was because I'd been taught to blend in for safety. So it was a real kind of deliberate choice to start expressing myself through what I wear and to do it regardless of the looks I sometimes get. And it's been really empowering to do that. And also you have to dress up for Australia's national broadcaster.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very grateful that you did. When you first walked in, I was feeling for you because that shirt does not look like linen. It certainly looked like a man-made fabric. And I thought, you can't do that on a day like today, Sam.
No, I know better.
He's in silk and linen, my friends, and therefore he's A-OK with that. That's really interesting that this has only been a new part of you because I'm meeting you for the first time. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, here's Sam. He's been, you know, out, if you like, and colourful for a long time. But no, this in some respects is part of what you're doing now. Tell me about your artwork.
I've always drawn. My dad used to doodle on a notepad whenever he was on the phone, and that kind of inspired me to draw. And I only really started sharing my art, I guess, when I moved to the Gold Coast. I had studied filmmaking and really loved that, and I've written essays and a book, and I just wanted to express myself in a way that there weren't any gatekeepers and I could just share it. I love ceramics. I have a little kiln out back, and that was a way of kind of taking my drawings to into another
3D.
Into a 3D world,
To mould something.
Yeah. And that's when I had my first exhibition, which was called Fragile Masculinity, Handle with Care. And it kind of all started there.
Something else you're just going to do, and I'm so excited waiting for this Hotter Gallery to officially open. We will have as part of that the very, very, from day one, it's being called Solid Gold.
Yes.
You're part of Solid Gold. Are you able to tell me what your piece is?
I can. It's
Or is it all under... I wondered if it was all under wraps at the moment because nothing's been announced yet.
Oh, it's like a semi-unwrapped Christmas present. My work for it is called Cloud Drive. Basically, I've made 200 ceramic clouds, which are being attached to a 9-meter wall at different lengths. And I've developed an app and a website. And on the website, it's kind of like a social media platform where people type in their thoughts and feelings. And then when you visit the gallery and you download the app and you look at the clouds through the app, messages from the public drop down as animations on your phone. So it's kind of AR ceramics, immersive.
Wow.
So it's people can contribute and your messages will be part of it. I'm really excited for people to experience that.
Oh, I'm excited to experience that. Tell me, we've talked a bit about, you know, a lot of your work trying to hone this message of be who you are, boy or girl, man or woman, you know, they or them, whatever it might be. Are you trying to be a role model? Do you think you have the answers now after all this time and your experiences?
It's tricky. I've done a few Zoom calls with boys late in primary school, early in high school, who are kind of kids of friends of mine and have experienced bullying in similar ways to to what I did. And it's hard to give advice because there is no real answer when the problem is so cultural. I mean, you tell them try not to worry about it, don't let it affect you. Like, you have to embrace being who you are. You can tell them that, you know, these boys bullying you is more a reflection of kind of their fears than of you doing anything wrong. But I remember being told similar things when I was young, and it certainly didn't help. So there's a certain awareness that I can't fix it for people, but I don't remember having too many colourful, bright, gay, creative types to look up to when I was that age. So I hope that just existing and being kind of in the public realm somewhat with my work, that it's kind of evidence of life after school and what you can be, even if you were damaged by your experiences in childhood. You hear some really heartening stories, and then you hear stories that make you think nothing's changed. I mean, I know kids who have been bullied for their sexuality in Newtown in Sydney, which is like, if you're going to pick a suburb to be the queer hub of Australia, it's probably Newtown. So the fact that that kind of stuff still happens, I think, is evidence that there's work still to be done. But I do think, hopefully, teachers are more better equipped with the language and the tools and the insights to facilitate those conversations. I mean, I remember being called the, I don't know what I can say.
Go on, just say it.
I was called a faggot on one of my first days in high school, and I went to the principal, and he looked at me and said, well, are you? And I said no, because I hadn't come out yet. And that was kind of the end of the conversation. Well, then don't let it bother you. There was no kind of, there didn't seem to be any kind of awareness around the lasting damage of these kinds of schoolyard dynamics. So that these events are inspiring more meaningful conversations, and that changes are happening.
Well, it comes back to what you said before. The one thing that you can make a difference in is, and you know, it's said about many things. It's said about women of color. It's said about women generally in top level executive roles. It's said about all sorts of things. You can't be what you can't see. And it could be overused, but I don't think so yet.
Yes.
And
all the kids out there, you two can be a bald, colourful gay man.
He's bald, by the way. Did I not mention that? And I can't wait to see what you do when the Hotter Gallery opens up. Solid Gold will be one of the big exhibitions. All local artists doing amazing things. Sam Leighton-Dorr has joined us for Once Upon a Time here on ABC Gold Coast. Sam, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.